Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Razor Edge production, Sight and Vision Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. It's showtime!
Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Show about disability rights, your disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate, voice your concerns, voice your opinion, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which is inclusion into society, living more independently in your home and in your community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is increase your net worth and you'll increase your net worth. Greetings, my listening audience. Again, this is Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Although I've been blind for more than almost 60 years now, a cherry bomb exploded in my face on 4th of July when I was a mere lad of 13 and blinded me in both my eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I wake up, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Greetings, and how are you today, Miss Renee?
Well, I'm laughing, Rev, because what our audience can't see is you just rushed into the studio, threw your jacket on the hook, fell into your seat, and acting as though you have been here the whole time. But, you know, that's the beauty of technology and perseverance. You do what you need to do. But catch your breath, and we do want to welcome our listening audience to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. I did get an email. Somebody wanted to know, what do you mean by increase your net worth and increase your network?
Well, answer that question one more time slower as I slow down.
Somebody sent me an email and they said, when Reverend Radio Ray Razor opens up, he said, increase your net worth and increase your network. What does that mean?
Well, you know, Ms. Renee, one of my mentors is Robert Gatewood of Gatewood Marketing that hosts our website. And we met him in 2012 in an organization called Business Enterprise Network, and we're a group of together every week for lunch and share what they did in their business and also shared with getting referrals to their customers. And one of the things, and he started putting on an event every Friday called the Friday event, and in the evening. And one of the things he would talk about how important it was to network with people. And I say networking because when you network with folks, you never know who you're going to meet. And as you build your network, and your list is golden. And even politicians or business people tell you, your list is golden. So as you make a list of people that you have met and shared, you'd be surprised by the kind of information and the contacts you get in building your business. So to me, if you build your network, you will build your net worth because you'll be surprised with the business, out of the relationship that you get. So that's why in my opening I say, you build your network and you will build your net worth because a lot of jobs and jobs you don't even think about come through referrals from people that you met. And as they say the MLM, it's people that you know, like, and trust that you do business with. And you find that in networking.
Well, you know, that's really sort of a curious introduction to what we're going to talk about today. We hope that listeners listen carefully, because I was reading an article, and it was talking about the top five regrets of dying. And this woman worked with people who were in the last few months of their life. And she said the biggest regrets were people who said, I wish I had had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. And while you're referring to business in one sense, you know, our networks are any of the persons and places and things that we know, that we frequent. We include family in that. But, you know, we forget that health brings a freedom that very few of us realize until they no longer have it. And our show specifically is called Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio. But life doesn't stop when you have a disability. Life goes on, and we adapt to it. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about today. Our guest was unable to come on. I want to talk a little bit about developing an appreciation of time and our contacts and our network, so that we can maximize those. A lot of us are going to have Thanksgiving with family and friends. For some, this Thursday for Thanksgiving, some people are looking forward to it or are dreading it. So I guess the question is, how do we take that network and cull it so that people who feed into our lives in a positive way, or places that we go feed into our lives in a positive way, that creates the person that when we are facing our last few months, that we feel like, yeah, I lived a good life. So I want to talk a little bit about, we're going to bounce around a little bit, but just follow us. Monday night, you went to a swearing-in of local politicians in Greenbelt, Maryland, and they swore in the city council. And one of the things that was significant is they swore in the first woman of color. Two questions I have for you, Rev. One is, why, after people of color, black people in particular, have been in this country for several hundred years, are we still celebrating first of anything? That's number one. And number two, how important is it to get involved in local government so that your voice is heard? So let's start with the first one. Why are we still having so many firsts?
And you know, that's a good observation, because being a person with a disability that's totally blind, we are still finding first as well. You know, like for me, I have a number of firsts. You know, first blind person, totally blind person that was hired by the Prince George's County legislative government. I mean, you know, and here again, all these years, why is the first blind person? So going to your point about the first black woman the first colored, which is the African-American, that was voted on the Greenbelt City Council. And just recently, I mean, the last couple of years, they had, for years from 2009, was the first black they had on there. And then, you know, recently, a couple of years ago, 4 years ago, they had two blacks on there. Now they got three on there. But I think, again, it's America is great, but also America, like the face of so many cultures and race, and that they, for whatever reason, there's a group of people that wake up every morning, and when they look in the mirror, they feel that they have special privileges, special rights. And for whatever reason, and me being a minister and going to the Bible, that we understand that there are just certain, certain things that just going to happen, and going about in the realm is that you can only feel comfortable with what you know. And if there are certain races, have certain cultures, they have certain traditions, they have certain family connections, then it's a scary thing, really, to have or open up to other races, other traditions coming into your space. I mean, and we're going to protect our own, I don't care who you are, to make things better for your kids, for your generation. So you know, and unless we have, well, I don't know if I want to say great, but certain men, not of integrity, but certain men that have a heart for loving people, a heart for compassion, a heart for the courage to step into the unknown, people are going to stay comfortable. They're going to stay where they are. They're going to stay comfortable. They're going to be afraid. And also, you know, so therefore we get the first, and we're going to, and there's still a lot of places and areas where we got, you know, we don't have first yet. You know, they're still, and mm-hmm. here again, you would think, you know, in 2000, you know, this country, you know, been two 2,000 years or whatever you want to, you know, depends on you talking to, or billions of years or millions of years. But let's go with just the United States of 400 years, and they're still first. They haven't even got to. I mean, like you know, you take the sports. As much as we love sports, there's still not a black person that owns a baseball team. Okay, mm-hmm. and how many baseball mm-hmm. and you know, and baseball players and the kind of money that, I mean, you could take three black baseball players that make enough money to buy the same thing with hockey. There's not a black person that owns a hockey team. And how many black, well, not that many people, black people play hockey, but take a football team. I mean, you got 53 men on the football roster. How many of them is black that's, you know, making millions of dollars a year? You know, black people own the football team. So when are we going to hear the first black owner of a football team? You know?
Well, it has gotten costly. And they are beginning to go in and collaborate. But, you know, you talk about why do people not do something. It reminds me that broken people are not perfect, that there is no other kind to choose from. And so, you know, we are learning as we go how to begin to take care of some of these things and to work together. And that takes a certain amount of letting go of ego. And, you know, we asked early on about at the end of your life, what is it that you want to not regret? Not what do you regret, but what do you want not to regret? And I guess we're coming up right against the break. And I guess I'm going to leave you with this question to answer on the other side is, what should I do in light of what I have learned? You just pointed out that we haven't made certain purchases of major league teams and on a smaller scale, because I'm not aspiring to become an owner of a league team. However, but what are the financial choices that we have made or not made that we might want to look at? But let me take a break here. This is usually where we put in our advertisements. The Reverend Ray can increase my pay. I don't want to have to go out on strike, but it is something I am considering. All right, so I'm going to go to break and come back on the other side of the break and ask you that question, Reverend Ray. So let's go to break. You are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And back over to our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor.
Miss Renee, you know, on your question about regrets, when I used to go visit my grandmother, she lived in a senior building in Washington, D.C., and where I worked at was only like several blocks from her. So when I got off, I used to walk over to visit her. And a number of times when she's out, you know, I sit in the lobby to wait till she come back. And talking to the seniors, they would talk about what they regret. And the top three things that I would hear of these conversations, one, they regret that they did not pursue the occupation they wanted to because somebody told them, you're not going to be able to make any money out of that, or, that's not what, you know, women do or men do. And so they didn't do it. And these are women, and I mean, these are seniors that's like in their 70s, 80s, you know, that still regret a choice that they didn't make, that they did not take a chance to make when they was in their teens or early 20s. And the second was that they did not marry the person that they should have married because of what their parents didn't think they was good enough, or because their friends didn't think they was good enough. But here again, like I said, these are people that in their 70s and 80s, and they still, you know, regret. And the third thing was travel, that they, you know, was afraid, or people made them afraid that they didn't travel, you know, that they didn't travel. And those are a reoccurring thing is I would hear from seniors, you know, they're sitting around now and they outlive their spouses, they outlive their friends, they outlive their parents, and, you know, but to end up, you know, with the latter part of your years, because some of those people might live another 5, 10, and this is, you know, what they're going to, you know, live with. So that's a sad thing. Now, let me just say about, as you said, I attended a Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, has a what they call Circle of Friends, and it's blind and visually impaired persons come together in a support group that they meet a couple of times a month, and they talk about, you know, they share the different things they go through. They're dealing with their blindness in terms of independence, in terms of family relationships. And a lot of them was, you know, giving thanks for, you know, where they are. Even though they're blind, they was giving thanks for, you know, their health, for their jobs, for family relationships, for just being here. But, you know, one of the things I noticed, and it just hit me this time, because, and we'll talk about it in a few minutes maybe, that I attended a faith-based leadership conference the last 3 days and to hear some powerful black preachers and black men and women preachers talk about leadership. And so it had raised my conscience and sort of going to reinvent myself in terms of, you know, how I should proceed in terms of foundations, in terms of vision. But getting being armed with those tools that I put in my toolbox of leadership. Listening today to, you know, blind people talking and visiting people talking about what they're thankful for, I realized that our expectations is so low. You know, our expectations is so low. And how our expectation gets so low that, yes, there's nothing wrong with being thankful. Yeah, you should be thankful for when you get up in the morning and just breathe. But God has put so much out there for us to have. And when I was listening to, you know, it was about more than 30 blind persons today. This, you know, it was a really large Thanksgiving celebration. But listening for, you know, what to be thankful for. And like I said, I'm not knocking, you know, just people saying I was just thankful for waking up this morning. And that's fine. But waking up to what? Because I think God want us to have and expect from him and have a stronger desire. Now, one of the things for me now that I want to be able to create, and as you said, Mr. Renee, you don't want to own a baseball team or a football team. Well, it's not the entity that I want to own anymore. I wanted to put me at a platform where I could share the word with as many people as I can. If that means on the football team, if that means on the ice cream truck, then fine. But one of the things, and the second thing that I want to be able to do is employ people. So it's not just for me, but can I own a business or can I leverage a business where I can help employ other people? So when I focus now on, you know, after God take care of all my needs, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, medical care, and all that, then I want to be able to create businesses or create employment for other persons, and that could be others, but my concentration will be on blind and person with disability because employment is so low for us. But, mm-hmm. but so it's not so much I want to own a football team. I want to own a basketball team. I want to own, a McDonald's or whatever. But I want to be able to employ people where they can have a family and raise kids. And so for me, that's one of my reset for my life. So I know that's more than what you want, but
no, it isn't. But you know, you used a wonderful word, and it's reset. You know, I think so many times we're talking to persons who identify as an older American or a senior. It depends who you're talking to now. They're changing the language. But the challenge is, how do we encourage an older person to do a reset? I love that term. Oftentimes they see the disconnect between the choices that they want to make and the choices they actually make. I remember reading one time about a community of nuns who had very low, Alzheimer's dementia rate, and they didn't know why they didn't. So they studied this group, and they found out that they were always learning something new. Some of them would take up music, and some of them would take up something else. So I think too many times we use our age as a number that they don't want anybody calling it because as though it's disconnected, but it's not, because until God says it's over and we draw our last breath, we can learn so much. I guess the question is, you talk about what you wish, what you would do. How do we pose the question to older people? I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not what others expect of me, but how do I stop limiting myself now that I have reached a certain number? What do you think the answer is? Is it being in groups? Is it getting connected to a church or a faith group? What moves people off of that? Now, we talked early on about your health brings a freedom that few of us realize until they no longer have it. And you talked about blind people losing their sight, not their vision of what they want to do. What can we do as a group, or what can we do as a person observing a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle that is not doing anything? How do we encourage them to get connected, and where do they get connected?
Well, here's my answer with this. Moses was 80 years old when God chose him. So that means when he killed the Hebrew and ran away from Egypt, he was 40. All right, he spent another 40 years taking care of Jethro, his father's lost sheep. 40 years. And then the Lord, you know, so the Lord needed him. I don't know what to do for 40 years. Just maybe think about stuff. I don't know. Because when you're sitting out there with them sheep, I mean, who you talking to? What you doing, right? So the Lord figured it was time for him. But so think, he was 80 years old when this man came back to get the people from, lead the people out of Egypt. And then he wrote the first five books of the Bible. So this 80-year-old man. So when you say to yourself, well, God, I'm, you know, 60, 70, whatever, I'm too old to do this, well, right there, say, that's a lie. You know, that's not true. And then you take Jesus, okay? Now, Jesus, nobody knew him for 30 years. Nobody. 3 years, you know, he go and get these other 12 men that he give them a big enough speech that they could see his vision. And for 3 years, just 3 years. So some people say, well, I don't have enough time to do this, and I'm not going to make a difference. Well, think about it. No, you're not a Jesus, but just the principle that for 3 years, the influence that he had on the world, that, you know, more books been written about him than anybody. He haven't thrown a touchdown, a pass. He haven't hit a three-pointer. You know, none of this. All right? So it don't have anything with time, but it has something to do with this. George, there's an author named George Frazier, a black author that wrote a book, and they say it's probably the best networking book that you can get. And he said in that book that 85% of the people walking around are dead. They just haven't laid down yet. Okay. He said there's 10% of the people want to do better. They just don't know. They want to do better. And then there's 5% that's enlightening. They like the Jesus. They like the Moses. They like the Davis. They know better. But the thing is, those people that know better, they just have to accept the fact that they got to go out and teach those other 10. They got to know other 85 that's in their life, brother, sister, mother, aunt, uncle. It's part of that 85 that they just ain't never going to change their mind, ain't never going to get them to do anything. But and go out and find the 10% that they can enlighten. And it's not going to be easy. And so to go to your point, Ms. Renee, those people that know they enlightened and they know that they know, they got to have the courage. They have to have the compassion. They have the desire to go out and just talk to people. They might talk to 1,000 people. You know, they might go to, I don't know, hundreds of networking events. They might go to, I don't know how many conferences a year. And they might only find 5 people that, but, you know, but those 5 people could be the people that, another Einstein, you know, another Benjamin Banner, you know, whatever. And so you don't know. But the thing is, you go back to the people that's enlightened and they know, they just got to have the strength of sometimes, well, I'm tired, you know. I don't feel like going out again today. I don't feel like talking to this group. But if you know that you have a relationship with the Lord and he has given you a charge and given you a mission, you just have to do it. And a lot of us that's enlightened, we get tired. You know, we don't want to do it. We don't do it. And that's the problem. But we need those people to go out and talk to those people. Somebody, a blind group of people need to see a blind person like me that goes out and say, hey, You see what I'm doing? You can do it too. A blind group of people not going to have a sighted person come and tell them, hey, y'all need to get off y'all butt and y'all need to do this and do that. They ain't going to listen to them. You know, in the same token with a black person, you know. So that's, you know, pretty much the way I would come to it from there. Or I hear the music.
Well,
I
guess we're
going to, somebody got to pay somebody.
Right. Well, I just want to wrap up this segment. So it's develop an appreciation of time and take care of the calendar, and God will take care of the character. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Okay.
Amen.
Are you looking for an active older group that cares about all of the issues facing older adults? Check out AARP 939 of Suitland, Maryland, the only chapter in Prince George's County. President Catherine Williamson invites you to join her at the next meeting, which is the first Tuesday in December at the Knights of Columbus Hall, 3611 Stewart Road, District Heights, Maryland, at 12 o'clock noon. That's high noon at the Knights of Columbus Hall, District Heights, Maryland, and that's the first Tuesday in December at 12 o'clock noon. If you need more information, you can email them at aarp939@yahoo.com. That's aarp939@yahoo.com. Okay, well, we have started this segment with a conversation with Reverend Ray. We did not let the fact that our guest did not show up stop us. And so we started off with a book that I had read, The Top 5 Regrets of Dying. And I know that's sort of an unusual topic to discuss on a radio show, but that takes us right into the workshop that you attended this week. And excuse me, one of the acronyms that they used was ICE: integrity, compassion, not compromise, and empathy. And that you can't throw out hard truths without love first. And, you know, we talk about integrity and compassion, not compromise. Whatever is informing you is also forming you. Reverend Ray, you know, at this point, a lot of us are in our homes. We're tied to maybe the local news. How do you suggest that seniors get out and about? What kind of groups should they affiliate themselves? What kind of people should they have in their network? And does it mean letting go of some old tried and true friendships that don't benefit us? So, you know, where do we go when we feel stuck and we want to act on what you just suggested, that we grow ourselves, that we do something more?
Let me undergird that question with first unpacking the three words you just used, ICE. And I think the first one was integrity.
Yes.
And the second was compassion.
Compassion, not compromise.
Right, and the third was empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me integrity. You know, for a long time, people hear integrity and they say, "Oh, wow, you know, that person don't have an integrity." And I think a lot of people don't even know what that means. I think they just have a concept that means the person that good. But I heard a good definition of integrity, and all it means is you don't keep your word. Person cannot depend on you. You don't keep your word. And what was the second one? Compassion.
Compassion, not compromise.
Not compromise. And then compassion and not compromising. You know, a lot of times people do things that they don't have no business doing. They just don't do the right thing. And you can have compassion for what the end result that they have to pay the price for. But you don't have to compromise yourself and saying, okay, well, you're just my friend, and they did wrong, and, you know, and I know that it was wrong, but you know, I got compassion for this person. And then you start the, as they say, you know, if you don't, you have to have some personal code of your own. I mean, even at one time, the gangsters on the street, they had a code. They wouldn't mess with a person with a disability. They wouldn't harm a senior person. You knew you were safe. But because of these drugs, that code is gone. So unfortunately, so we all got to have a code to live by. And you don't want to jeopardize your integrity, I mean, and compromise, you know, your beliefs because then I say courage, not having the courage. And the last one was empathy. So that takes me into your question. Empathy, as I point back with seniors, is walking in their footsteps. You know, a millennial, a Gen Z, can't tell a baby boomer about they need to, because that's really what we're dealing with now, the generations, and whatever that last one is, I forgot, the C or somebody. But they can't tell baby boomers, you know, that, hey, you need to get out. Matter of fact, on my way home, I take paratransit, and the young lady, and her name was Lena, and she was young. I said, where in the world you get Lena from at your young age? She said, well, I said, did that come from Lena Horne? And she said, well, no. She said, well, yeah, it did in a way. My grandmother's name was Lena, and they named her after Lena Horne. And she liked the name, so she named me Lena. And I say that, and she shared with us, asked us what was, you know, all those blind people and people at this event that she was, you know, picking us up. And we explained to her what it was. And she said, oh, my mother has been losing her sight for years, and she won't come out the house, and me and my brother have to go down and do this for her and do that for her and do this. And she said, and I keep on telling her. Well, as we explained to her, you know, at her age, her mother's not going to really listen to her in two ways. Three ways. One, she's a daughter. Her mother raised her and birthed her. Two, she's young. And three, she has no idea empathy. Walking in her mother's footsteps and being blind. You know, to her, it might seem like, well, come on, Mom, I don't know why you can't come and do this, do that. She has no idea this for her mother to get up out the chair and walk to the bathroom, whereas the daughter, you know, she just jump up, don't even think about it. You know, but for a blind person, it's different. But as we were sharing with her and gave her some phone numbers to call a group called I3S that meets on the phone, even though her mother lives in Virginia, she can call them and just listen, you know, on the support mm-hmm. line that blind people on, which a number of people have done, to start and being able to share, you know, about how her relationship is. So the empathy has to be, we're going to listen to people that walk in their footsteps, you know.
You know, let me jump in here. Let me jump in here just for a second, because, you know, I think what you point out with the example that you used about Miss Lena on the bus is that you can't throw hard truths without love first, you know. And the thing of it is, right, it has to go both ways. Too many times we feel like millennials aren't listening to us, meaning I'm one of the boomers. They aren't listening to us. But are we also extending love and respect to them? We expect it from them, but many of us have failed the millennials because we haven't instilled it in them. And then going back to you sharing information with her, whatever is informing you is also forming you. When people don't know, they haven't been out and about in the community, when they are not aware of services, they cannot tell another person. And that's why the support group is so important. You're talking to somebody who has a shared experience, and therefore they can understand the challenge of resetting from just making it from their favorite chair to the kitchen to get a snack or something like that. So how then do we go back And we just recognize that there's a disconnect between many millennials and many boomers. How do we go back and heal that? Is there a way of doing that?
Well, it is a way, and I go back again to the 85-10-5 not rule, but what you call them, dynamics. There are, you got to find those 5%, I mean that 5% that can connect with the baby boomers, that connect with the millennials, and there are some. One of my just come off my mind is Dr. Erin Dyson. What is his name?
Erin Dyson.
Now he's one. Okay, and I'm sure there's others. Now he has for whatever reason studied, made it a point to understand the baby boomers, made it a point. You know what I'm saying? He studied that. He can go in there and talk to those kids. Okay, so does the establishment recognize that, okay, he's one of the people that can go talk to them, so we're going to bring him together in a format to be able to talk to them and support him? You see what I'm saying? So it's those kind of things that got to happen. You know, I wouldn't ask a Mr. Magoo to go and talk to the kids. They might have a good time and laugh about it, but they wouldn't connect with him. But we have to pay and sort out a person like Dyson. I'm just using him as an example because
right.
People know that he can, you know, I mean he can recite the songs and the lyrics and, you know, and stuff. And so he can connect with the millenniums and those groups. But the thing about it, the establishment to be, some of us, you know, don't embrace him to understand, hey, we need you or to go and, you know, and do this and to build a bridge between the traditional or hardline or stiff-necked baby boomers to build this kind of relationship, you know, with the millennials.
But, you know, I think the point that I hear you making is that we have to read the people, not the notes. I think too many times we go in with a template and we believe that the millennials should fit into this. The millennials believe that the boomers should fit into this. And we really don't. But if our interactions have a point, and I think that, you know, working together on projects, understanding
yes.
one another, speaking truth and love, you know, I think too many times we boomers come across as autocratic. We know what's best for you and we know what you need to do. But oftentimes in that tone of voice or that attitude, we kill their dreams. We kill their
yeah.
dreams. And
yeah.
I know of it. Go ahead.
Now, you know, one of the examples I would take, and this is on a smaller scale, but I have seen work, and people put a lot of thought into this, whoever did it. But at Riderwood, which is a multi-level senior living facility, that someone took time out to put this structure together where they bring in college kids or high school kids to – and I don't want to say just serve the senior occupants, but not just serve them, but create a family, create a community with them. And that's one of the best generational relationships that I have seen. I mean, and like I say, and I don't know all the ins and outs of the structure, but I've seen the structure from observant, where the kids, you know, work there and they respect the children, they respect the students. They don't treat them like they slave work, or they don't treat them like they work at McDonald's and they're a busboy. They don't treat them that way. They respect them and how they I don't want to say demand, but how they expect them to conduct themselves respectively, how they compensate them and showing their appreciation by giving them the finances to be able to go to college or pursue their education. So it's a relationship that builds a community. And that's one of the best examples I've seen of intergenerational respect and able to come together.
Okay, well, you know what the music means. It's time for us to pay a few bills. So we're going to go pay a few bills, and then we're going to come back on the other side of the break. You are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And today, we turn the tables on our host and put him in the guest seat. And so we're talking a little bit about the top five regrets of dying. That's where we started off our conversation. But it wasn't maudlin. We talked about what we can do while we still have good health, because health brings freedom that few of us realize, and we don't realize it until we no longer have it. And Reverend Ray was giving an example of one of the senior centers that employs college students or young millennials, and there's an authentic interaction between the generations and how it's enriching for both sets of people mm-hmm. involved. I want to talk a little bit about how we are saying, or how we are interacting, how we are being seen in the world. You know, if a friend of mine recently moved out of a community, and he moved into a senior community because he did not like the liveliness, the interaction of a multi-generational community, because you hear kids laughing and shrieking, and occasionally a ball would end up on his balcony, and he didn't like any of that. And recently I saw him after he relocated, and he said, "It's like a ghost town over there." So, you know, we can't have it both ways. But my question is, sometimes we have neglected relationships. We haven't built relationships with young people. We haven't even really maintained relationships with former friends. And I think men are especially guilty of this. Men are more driven to an activity. Now, if you tell them, "Let's go fishing," or "Let's go bowling," they're down. But for a woman, we can say, "Hey, let's just go grab a cup of coffee or tea or something," and we can just talk and pick up. How do we reconnect with our community, then take that connection and turn it outward? We started off this conversation talking about a local government that had their swearing in on Monday. And, you know, there are a lot of issues that affect older adults. These traffic circles, if you're out walking and you're trying to cross the street in a traffic circle, it's like playing Russian roulette. What about housing, affordable housing for people on fixed income? I know that's a roundabout way to ask the question, but how do we take the energy of older adults, baby boomers, and combine that with millennials and make a better landscape, a better cityscape, a better walking scape for the entire community, not one over the other? Is there a way of doing that? Or are we just in our own little pods and that's just the way it is?
No, a lot of things you made observation on right there, and let me try to bullseye a couple of them. One, the gentleman you talked about that moved, well, right then, you know, you get him a jersey with 85 on it. He's one of the 85%. You know, he's dead and walking around. Nothing you can do with him. Okay. So let's not waste time with him. You know, so just get him a jersey with an 85 on it, and so you know who he is. Okay. So you don't worry about him anymore. And going back to what you know, the observation you make again about the elections, about all of that. You know, it still goes back down to, and I hate to say it, to 5%, that there are individuals that have vision and they can see, and I heard this in the leadership training, they can see to the future what can be, and they can come bring it back to the present and inspire people and let them see this vision and start working on it now. Okay, there's a lot of people that have dreams, but they don't have vision. Because a dream, you can, you know, two ways with a dream. You can dream about, wow, I wish I had a lot of money. If I had it, I'd do this, I'd do that, I'd do this. And then there's a dream that you get the money and you do this, and you do that. But this, that, and that you're doing is for the moment. There's no vision that I got this money. This is the vision. I want to get this money because I'm going to build this complex that's going to provide food, shelter, clothing, jobs, whatever for people when I get it. And then they get it, and then they work towards doing that. You know, and so, again, we need to find that handful of people, and it comes through networking. Some of them might be a diamond in the rough. Some of them might be already out there polished and working their little hearts off. Those are people that we have to connect. And as I go back to what you said, somebody emailed to say, Reverend Ray, why do you say, you know, increase your net worth and increase your net worth? Because that's it. You got to network and find those people. And then you have to create your inner circle of people. You know, as often said, here again, the LM, multi-level marketing, a lot of good little sayings, you know, and one of them is that, you know, whatever you at the same level, the 5% of people, the five people around you, you know, if you got five people around you that all the time you interact with, and they drink every Friday and spend their money up and go home and cut up, and then Sunday don't go to church, and then money come in dragged in. Okay, you know, if you got five people around you doing that, you doing that. But if you got five people around you that's saying, hey, we going to a conference and we're going to learn about this and we're going to come back to our community and we're going to, you know, get a loan and start the business, then that's what your personality is going to be doing. So here again, you know, you as good as the five people around you for the most part. So, but you have to find those people. And they go back again to those are the people that's going to have to create what's going to go on. You still could, you know, one person that's successful is not that didn't do it all on his own. But and the person, but that person is the one that has the charisma, has the vision, has the courage. And yeah, he has to create a foundation and like-minded people around him that believe and trust him, you know. But it goes back again that it is a one person that can really make a difference, and you know, your community up or your community is down. It really does.
You know, you've answered the final question that I wanted to ask you. And that was, what should I do in light of what I've learned? You know, listening here for the last 50 minutes, I pray that we have piqued someone's conscience and their interest. And there's a saying that says, quick success builds ego, but slow success builds character. How would you suggest people go about looking for people who have character and getting affiliated with those groups? Where do they go? You know, do they read a book? Do they take a class? Do they join an organization? What do they do?
All of the above. Every day you should be reading something. You should be putting in your mind some positiveness that it is, and you do enough things, you'll find out what your gifts are, what you not just like to do, but what you're gifted to do. You do enough things, you'll find that out. But enough things have to be not sitting at home watching TV for 7 hours, not going over to Maryland Live or the Horseshoe in Baltimore, watching football, football on Friday, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's not going to get it. You know, your commitment has to be to reading a book, has to be, going to networking events. And the ones you should go to is leaning towards leadership. A lot of people think they're leaders, but my wife often say, people that think they're leaders, they're not leaders. They might be in charge, but they're not leaders. And so you have to work on leadership. Some people think leaders are born. Some leaders are born, but they still, have to be able to craft that leadership, those leadership skills. And then if you're not a leader, but, there's some things that the Lord has led you or you think you should do, you can become a leader. So you have to stretch yourself. As I had a pastor, you thought would say he was trying to stretch us. Sometimes he was stretching us in the wrong way, but nevertheless, his intentions was good. But all those things above, you have. But you definitely need to read. You need to look at. You need to spend. A lot of people don't spend time sitting down just examining themselves. And the reason a lot of people don't do that because they don't like themselves. They don't like what they see. They really don't. So they don't want to sit down and think about. Spiritually, this is where my life is. Financially, I'm not where I'm at. What I need to do to get there. My family, relationship. I'm falling out with this person. I ain't talked to my sister this long. I hate my mother because she did this and I misunderstood. Putting on the whole armor of God. People so afraid, man. They only come out their house, people don't have a career. They don't even know what a career is. You ask them who they are, what they identify with. Unless they had a job that they was in the government for 30, 40, 50 years, they have no other identification of themselves. So it is
you make an excellent point. And we started off, it sounded pretty maudlin, the top five regrets of dying people, and that we have a choice. And so, Reverend Ray, I want to thank you for letting us turn the tables on you today and put you in the hot seat, in the visitor seat, and we're going to close out. And again, I thank you so much for coming on and allowing us to share with you. So we're going to close out, and we will talk with you next week. Thank you for listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Want to hear this show again? Or one of our past shows, go to our website, revrayrazor.com. That's revrayrazor.com. That's revrayrazor.com. This has been a Razor Edge production of Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio.